After we read Psalm 67, we will turn to Numbers chapter 6, which is the Aaronic blessing. And that will be the focus of our text. Psalm 67 is that same blessing turned into a prayer. And so we will read this, and we'll actually talk a little bit about it during the message. But it is a blessing is to speak well of another. And as we are taught to hear and receive that blessing of what is said, in this case, from the minister gives a doxology or a benediction, it is, in fact, words that are based upon the revealed will and the affirmation of Almighty God. So let's read these verses in Psalm 67. It's entitled, "To the Chief Musician on Stringed Instruments, a Psalm, a Song. God be merciful to us and bless us, and cause His face to shine upon us, that Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him." So turn next to Numbers chapter 6. We will read the last verses that are found there of the sixth chapter, verses 22 through verse 27. Numbers chapter 6, verse 22. "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. Say to them, The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. So they shall put My name on the children of Israel, and I will bless them." Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we continue and to a certain extent conclude our ongoing series of the elements of worship. Why do we do what we do in our worship services? Well, the short answer is because this is what God commands. This is what He has instructed His people to do. And so there is this broad kind of category where we are not called to creativity in worship. We are not called to do what we think would be most edifying to God. No, we are obliged, and we see this, Deuteronomy chapter 4, Deuteronomy chapter 11. We are told not to add to what the Lord has given. We are not to subtract from that which the Lord has given. And so the supposition is what God has revealed, what we read in the Scriptures, is exactly what we're supposed to read, what He intends us to read. And so it really, I think it's an argument for the sufficiency of Scripture. If we add to it, we muddle it. If we take away from it, we diminish it. But rather, what we have in the Word, the written Word of God, is precisely and is exactly that which we should have. So this morning, we are looking at a second time. Last week we kind of introduced the idea of blessing. We looked at a number of the New Testament benedictions that we find. And so we kind of looked at the concept of benedictions. Where did it come from? Why do we do it? And we saw that along the way that family blessings from fathers to sons, from here we have the example of the priest to the people. It's always from the greater to the lesser. It's from God to others. And so it is accenting, I think, the significance of the spoken word. And I think it was last week I mentioned that I had heard this presentation, the power of a man's words or a father's words in shaping the way her daughter sees himself or his wife understands. And so we are obliged to speak words of grace, words of life and love. In fact, in the New Testament, Paul says this, "Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, speaking the truth in love." That's true for our words in our day-to-day speech. And so it's really an argument from the lesser to the greater. If that's so in our day-to-day normal speech, how much more significant isn't such words of blessing when they find their origin with God Himself, when dealing with His Word and with His instructions? And so this morning, as we look at the blessing in Numbers chapter 6, the blessing itself, verses 24, 25, and 26, but I think just as important is how that blessing is introduced. And then what is the conclusion about that blessing that we read in verse 27 where God says, "Thus I will put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them." And so in this blessing in Numbers chapter 6, the Aaronic is given to Aaron, we find in it kind of the prototype of all subsequent blessings. In fact, I'll mention this now and just kind of introduce it, but in the conclusion, I make the point a bit more that the classic New Testament blessing is 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, right? May the Lord bless you and keep you. No, that's the wrong one. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Well, that's Trinitarian, right? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, I read, actually it was... Matthew Henry makes the case that he thinks the prototype for that blessing is what we read here in Numbers chapter 6. Notice that the Lord is mentioned in each of the three verses. Well, apparently the markings for Lord in each of those verses is different. And it's always been kind of a mysterious, why is it different? Well, the suggestion is that, well, that it's reflective of the work of God the Father, reflective of the work of God the Son, and reflective of God, the work of God, the Holy Spirit. So we will see this morning as we look at these verses in Numbers chapter 6, that in the benediction, God promises to continue His presence and His gracious care of His people. We'll look first at the command in this parting blessing, the communication of this parting blessing, and then thirdly, the consequence of this blessing. So we notice in the book of Numbers, it almost seems that the blessing is out of place. And if you would read through the first few chapters of the book of Numbers, you'll hear about the different tribes and the number of members of of each of these tribes as it recounts them. There's laws of purity. In fact, chapter 6 itself, if you look back to verse 1, or if your Bible has headings, it says laws for the Nazarite. Well, the Nazarite vow is where you promise not to cut your hair or to drink any wine or any alcohol. You make a vow to the Lord to abstain from these things in order to dedicate yourself to the Lord. And so we have in the first part of chapter 6, what is involved in that vow. And it's almost as if in the last part of chapter 6, the first part is this how what you can do to be holy, and then the blessing is really established. Well, how is it that you are made holy? Of course, the principle of holiness is what? You shall be holy because why? Because the Lord your God is holy. And so when the Lord puts His name upon His people, when He gives them His blessing, when He provides for them what they need, they are in fact made holy because of the fact that God is holy. And so we have this command. Look at verse 22. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his sons, saying to them, this is the way you shall bless the children of Israel. So I want you to notice the flow of authority. Who came up with this idea? Well, the right answer is God did. And he instituted the means and the manner by which this blessing is to be applied to God's people. The Lord speaks to Moses, as is quite typical as you read through the Pentateuch. And then the Lord commands Moses to speak either to the children of Israel or in this case to Aaron and his sons, and delivers to them this instruction for how they are to bless the children of Israel. And so this command, the Lord bless you and keep you, you know, right, the blessing, is what we saw in Psalm 67 actually turned into a prayer. May the Lord bless us. May the Lord keep us and provide for us all that we need. And of course, that is exactly right. The Lord, God, be merciful to us and bless us. The Lord cause his face to shine upon us. We'll talk about what that means. That your way may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. And so these words spoken, the Lord to Moses, to Aaron, and to his sons, indicates continuity, even a generational perpetualness to this blessing is the point, right? It's not just a blessing for now, at this moment in time, but it's a blessing that is to be extended, to be expanded throughout the generations. And so you might even notice across the page, benedictions and greetings, there's a comment at the bottom there. It says, the salutation and the benediction as pronounced in God's name are properly used only by an ordained minister and in a gathering of Christ's church. All right, so there's an officialness to benedictions and to greetings and to blessings. Not that we can't read or think or use this language, but in the official capacity, it is that which has been appointed by God to accomplish the purpose of his will. Through the teaching and preaching of his word, we have established that that God is holy, and by the extension of his grace and mercy, we in effect become holy. And of course, this blessing that we read in these exhortations teaches that all of these things find their fullness, find their fulfillment in the direct relationship of God to his people. It's interesting that this blessing, this priestly blessing, doesn't come optional, does it? It actually comes as an imperative. It comes as a command. In fact, it's interesting, in Psalm 133, it says, behold how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity. Then it uses the imagery of Aaron and the anointing of, and so on. But then Psalm 133 ends with this word. For there, in the midst of his people, the Lord has commanded his blessing, even life forevermore. The Lord shall bless his people through the words that he has given in the priestly blessing. So we come that it is a command. It is also a communication. It is that which is affirmed. It is that which is proclaimed. It is that which is, in fact, to benefit the ones who would hear. And what is the blessing? Well, say to them, verse 24, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So these words are to be spoken audibly. The people are to see and are to receive that which is being given. And so you wonder, why? Well, information comes to us in various ways, doesn't it? We have five senses. We see with our eyes. We hear with our ears. We tactically feel with our hands. And we come to know information by these things. And so in the imagery, if you will, God uses the hearing and the seeing, and it is by means of these things that these truths, that these realities are communicated. Why do we raise the greeting one hand? Some people use two hands. I use one for the greeting, two for the blessing. Why? Where does that come from? Well, other than being passed down, so far as we know, throughout posterity, we have, in fact, knowledge for sure that the Lord Jesus raised his arms to bless his people when he departed. You can read of that in Luke chapter 26 at his ascension. It says he raised his arms and he blessed them. And so the pattern, we would say, goes back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why do we do that? Well, we do that because he did that. And of course, the blessing that he gave, we don't have the words recorded, but we well suppose it would sound a lot like the blessing in Numbers chapter 6. It would sound like the blessings that we hear the apostles add at the conclusion of the various epistles when we read these benedictions in these various places. And so the benediction is given, is to be heard, it's to be remembered, it is to be accepted. You know, so often in church, you know, maybe right now, you hear me talking, but it's not really registering, or that's not to be the case, especially with the benediction. Because we are being reminded of God's attitude towards us. We are being reminded of what is to be our attitude toward God. And so it is not the most important thing, but I tell you what, it's a pretty important thing. Where we are reminded of the fact that God's grace and care supplies exactly what we need. Well, what is the content of this blessing? Well, look at verse 24. The Lord bless you and keep you. The blessing that God affirms is a blessing not of self-blessing or from the priest blessing, but it is a blessing that comes to us from the Lord our God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord supply and protect you. The Lord watch over you and supply you with what you need. Verse 25, the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. What do we need from God? We need his grace. We need his care. We need the provisions that only he can supply. And he says, I will supply them to you. I will be your God and you will be my people. In fact, we read for our call to worship Psalm 95 this morning. We have that same reminder, right? We're called to worship, and we're reminded that God is the great shepherd. We are his flock. He keeps us, and he supplies for us what we need. And so God's attitude toward us is favorable. God's care for us is sufficient. He promises to provide blessing. He promises to be gracious toward us. And more than this, he promises to go with us. He promises to be with us. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. He promises to hear his people when they cry out to him. Think of Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. I will make my boast in the Lord. Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All that is within me, bless his holy name. We see in these words of blessing and their fulfillment and their development in the pages of Scripture. And they assure us of God's grace. They assure us of his provision, of his supply. And the interesting thing here is when we are told that the Lord will lift his countenance upon you, it is his looking toward us, and It's the idea of countenance is face to face. Worship is being bowed down before the Lord, and we are brought into His presence. We have supplied to us all that we need. He gives us His peace. Remember, the concept of peace is shalom, fullness, contentment, satisfaction. Heaven and earth is in a right relationship. There is peace. That is the fullness of what is given. And so when we are told that His countenance will be upon us, the next verse is kind of our third point. He will put, so shall I put my name on the children of Israel. He is bestowing Himself. Think of the commands that are central to our gratitude and thankfulness to God. We talked about one already. Be holy. Why? Because I, the Lord your God, am holy. At the end of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, be perfect just as your heavenly Father is perfect. 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. Brethren, let us love one another. Why? For love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knows God. Because what? Because God is love. And so as God is in Himself and His perfections, so He calls us to be. We are to be those that reflect His grace, His love, His mercy, His kindness, because we know Him. And as we reflect that greatness, that goodness of God, we are identifying ourselves with Him as our God and as our Father. And so what is given is His name. Look at verse 27, the conveyance or the consequence of this parting blessing is that so they shall put my name on the children of Israel and I will bless them. So the practice of the benediction at the close of the service is this identifying reminder. It says, church begins, grace unto you and peace from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. So does our worship end. May the grace of Christ our Savior and the Father's boundless love come and rest upon us. The Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. And so the grace that comes to us, that which is our hope and our assurance, is that God and His Word and God and His truth is bestowed, is given to us as His people. And really this idea that God's blessing puts God's name on His people, it's Him identifying us. It's our identifying ourselves with Him. Because where God puts His name, what does He do? He puts His care. You know, it's like that quotation from R.C. Sproul, all that God made, He owns. Well, when He remakes us and renews us by His Word and Spirit, guess what? That means that He has a vested interest in us. And His grip, His care, His provision, nothing can break. And so the assurance that we have is not that we have to do and have to perform some measure of satisfaction. No, we'll do that anyway because of the work of His grace in our hearts. You know, it's like, was it question 84 of the catechism, 86? I was too confused. The numbers anyway. Since then, we are redeemed from our misery by grace through Christ without any merit of ours. Why must we do good works? And the answer comes back to, well, we can't help it. Because Christ, having redeemed us by His blood, also renews us by His Holy Spirit after His own image, that with our whole life we may show ourselves thankful to God for His blessing, that He may be glorified through us, and that we ourselves may be assured of our faith by the works thereof. That's what grace does. That's what God's mercy looks like. It makes us the willing, humble servants of Almighty God. In fact, you listen to the Word of God, it says when you become a Christian, you're going to face all kinds of troubles. You're going to face all kinds of trials. All who would live godly in Christ Jesus will what? I just read that this morning in Sunday school. Will suffer persecution. But you know what? God still raises up believers. He still calls them and lines them up to be His faithful servants. And interestingly, that's where we find ourselves, or that's where we need to find ourselves in the future. So through the blessing, the benediction, God puts His name upon us as His people. The last phrase there in verse 27 says, "And I will bless them." I will bless them. Interestingly, in the redemptive historical flow of events, this was spoken, what, during the lifetime of Moses. He's speaking it toward the future, right? A day is going to come when all of these promises will become fulfilled and will become realities. Well, as believers today in 2018, we're looking back to that work of Christ accomplished on the cross. We don't look for what we don't have. We don't look for what we're waiting for, but we celebrate the reality of God's grace revealed, God's mercy supplied. We have in Him all that we need. In fact, the conclusion of the New Testament is, look at what the Lord has done. And more than that, look at what the Lord has done for you. How He has orchestrated the various facets and the complexities of each of our lives so that we in the end come to what? Come to faith and gratitude and thankfulness to Him. There's a couple couples here that are going to be married in the next few months. Well, I think the amazing thing in marriage is how from various backgrounds, various histories, God brings a couple together. Right? How does He do that? Well, He had a plan from the beginning. Well, you know what? It's the same thing with the grace that He evokes in our hearts. Do you think it was a chance that you were born in the family you were born in? Not a chance in the world. God's purpose and design was there from the beginning. And here we are today. What is the only fitting response to this work of grace in our lives? Only fitting response is gratitude. To identify God for who He is, the great and merciful Savior that has supplied all that we need. That's what the benediction is. It reminds us of this. I will bless them. I will bless my people by my favor. And so when we hear it, we're reminded about where we are in the present because of what God has done for us in the past and what He promises to do with respect to the future. Isn't that amazing? Past, present, and future are assumed in the Aaronic blessing. And here we have. Well, as we conclude, beloved, I mentioned this interesting connection between the blessing here in number 6 and the classic blessing in 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship, communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Listen to the blessing in that light. The Lord bless you and keep you. God the Father is favorably inclined Himself toward you. The second phrase. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. What is the effects of redemption by Christ but to do and to accomplish this very thing with the Lord Jesus Christ? What did He do? He came and laid down His life. He came to interpose His precious blood. And then the third line, verse 26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. God gives His presence and influence through the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, "My peace I leave with you." The Holy Spirit. So whether that, I think it fits, but here we have the anticipation of the triune work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit accomplishing in us that which He has willed from the beginning. Beloved, as we receive the blessing, the benediction, know that it is a real thing. We put our hope not on me and the words that I speak, but on the words that Christ has spoken, God has spoken, and they intend to be a blessing to us. And so we hear and we pray the same thing, don't we? The Lord bless us and keep us. The Lord make His face shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up His countenance upon us and give us His peace. Why? Because that's what we need. God has supplied. Amen. Gracious God, we thank You for the promise of Your Word. We thank You for the benefits that come to us in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that in Him and through Him, all that we need in this life, in the life that is to come, is supplied. We thank You that You are the great High Priest, that You are the one who has supplied all that we need, and that Your words attend Your promises, that You will never leave us nor forsake us. Oh Lord, encourage and strengthen us in our resolve and our devotion to You, we pray. All this in Jesus' name, amen.